In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The legend is told of a secret chamber located somewhere deep beneath St. Mark's, somewhere deeper than the tomb that holds the mortal remains of Fernando Wanamaker, deeper than the tunnels that Patco trains run through under Locust Street, deeper than the underground river that is said to flow beneath 16th Street. The entrance to the secret chamber is buried now, somewhere underneath the dirt floor at the eastern end of the undercroft, directly beneath the choir stalls or the altar, somewhere there. It is a chamber that has a sort of a magical property. You could bring things there that were stuck or locked or jammed in such a way that they would no longer open, and you could say a simple one-word prayer, and they'd be openable. A box that was locked and the key had been lost. A watch or a clock whose mechanism had gotten jammed. A jar that couldn't be opened. A briefcase with a lock whose combination had been forgotten. These are the sorts of things that were carried gently through the secret narrow passage down the dark stairs to the dimly lit chamber that is said to be bare, with only a single candle to be lit inside of it. Now, the Victorians who built this place had a lot more little locks on things than we do. They used little boxes to hold all kinds of things, and mechanical objects were more prone to failure and harder to replace than they are in our day and age. So this was a very useful secret chamber back in the day. But even more remarkable things were said to have happened in the chamber than the repair of small things. It is said that once a star choir boy whose voice was damaged from an illness of some sort, so that he could barely speak, let alone sing, was escorted down past the columns of the undercroft, led to the narrow entrance, given the single candle to light, and told the prayer that he was to recite. He was then sent down the long, narrow passage deep below the church, and when he came back, his voice was restored, and he was given a solo to sing the very next Sunday. It's also told that a priest of the parish, who was spurned by a woman he'd hoped to marry, went down to the secret prayer to secret passage to utter the prayer, but that strangely his broken heart was never mended. Maybe it was with the construction of the Lady Chapel in 1900 that the entrance to the secret chamber was mistakenly covered over. Maybe with the turn of the century and with the industrial advances that were taking place, there were fewer things that needed to be unlocked, or the things that needed to be fixed were all far too big to fit through the passageway and carried into the secret chamber. Maybe the whole story was just made up in the first place, and there never was a chamber where you could bring the locked, the stuck, the broken, the failed, and have them unlocked, unstuck, repaired, or restored. But even in our modern age, when watches don't have any moving parts, when we tend not to lock things up in little tiny boxes, etc., it's nice to think that there could be a place where a child who's lost his voice could be sent, and he would return with a song on his lips. I suppose that in this city of study and science, surrounded as we are by medical schools, it became a matter of ridiculous superstition to carry a broken music box, for instance, into a secret chamber and recite a special prayer by the light of a single candle, let alone to send a sick or injured child into such a place and hope for some mysterious healing, some otherworldly repair. Better to send your sick children to Penn or to Jefferson or eventually to CHOP. So, if the entrance to the secret chamber was covered up, it seemed, I suppose, to be no great loss by the turn of the century. The name of the broken-hearted priest had by then been forgotten, and the choir boy whose voice was restored had grown up and moved away, his identity lost in the shadows of memory. It is said, however, that the chamber is still there, somewhere deep beneath us, and that a single candlestick stands inside of it, waiting to hold its single candle, whose flame will flicker when the prayer, which has never been a secret, is uttered, should anyone ever find the lost entrance and venture down into the secret chamber. The prayer, as I said, is simple and never was a secret, which is counterintuitive, since it's the sort of incantation that you'd think would be the most tightly guarded of secrets from the secret chamber. But it is taken from the lines of the portion of St. Mark's Gospel that we heard this morning, and the Church has known it and pronounced it openly all around the world for centuries. It is the oddly lovely word that Jesus spoke after he put his fingers into a deaf man's ears and touched his tongue, since his speech was deeply imperfect. You remember that St. Mark tells us that first Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed. These details are not incidental. They reveal the work of a triune God, as the Son looks up to God the Father and then animates the Spirit with his breath. And then he speaks the ancient Aramaic word, Ephphatha, Ephphatha. It's not surprising, really, that as the world readied itself for a new century that would turn out to be a bloody, warring century of enormous change and upheaval, that the thought of a secret chamber where little things could be fixed or unlocked or opened seemed foolishly fanciful. But I wonder if something more was lost when the entrance to the secret chamber beneath St. Mark's was covered up and lost. I wonder if, as the world entered the 20th century, it wasn't just the secret chamber that was lost, but also the kind of faith that believed that you could utter a simple prayer and it would be answered unambiguously. I suspect the priest with the broken heart was the first person to lose that faith, at least the first one whose story we can tell. I suspect it seemed absurd to him as he carried his candle down the passageway and placed it in its candlestick, and he stood there in a small, damp chamber and pronounced the funny word, Ephphatha. I suspect after he'd said it, he sighed, but that his sigh was different from the sigh that Jesus sighed when he first uttered that word. I suspect that the broken-hearted priest's sigh was a more typical sigh, a sigh of resignation, hopelessness, and despair. Jesus used his sigh as a preamble to the prayer. But the sigh of the broken-hearted priest contained the answer to his own prayer. Nothing. Nothing at all. By the time the entrance to the secret chamber was lost, many people throughout the whole world had learned to mistranslate this sigh and had stopped uttering the prayer altogether. And so the 20th century became a century during which the Church so often sighed her own self-fulfilling sighs, and nothing happened. Very, very seldom these days, I come across some small thing that I would like to have fixed or unlocked or opened, and that I suspect I could have carried through the entrance to the passageway to the secret chamber beneath St. Mark's. And I sometimes sigh myself to think that the entrance to the passageway is lost forever, and maybe the story was never true anyway. But much more often, I stand at the altar, or I sit in my place during morning or evening prayer, and I think about all the big things that are broken or locked or stuck shut. I think about a child's illness, or a parishioner's surgery, or the person who is almost surely going to lose his job and will have a hard time finding another. I think about my friends who have gone to war. I think about the kids at St. James School and the violence that is a part of their lives in a neighborhood with the highest murder rate in the city. I think about the people that we feed in the Saturday Soup Bowl every Saturday, and about the people I walk by on the street every day who are in need but have not the wherewithal to find ways to have their needs met. I think about the folks that we worked with in Honduras when we've been down there on mission trips who live with so little. And I think about the families who bring their children to be treated at CHOP who sometimes find their way here on the other side of the river just to light a single candle as a prayer. I think about the people I know who are getting well on in years and whose lives are diminishing as their hearts in some cases or their minds in other cases deteriorate. And I think about the funerals that I have done for souls too young to be resting yet in peace, if you ask me. I think about all these things in my prayers and more, and it seems to me that there is So much in the world that is broken or locked or stuck shut. There is so much that needs fixing, so much that has been silenced, so much that has been repressed, so many voices that need to be found again, and so many, many hearts that have been broken. And I wonder why the secret chamber is really necessary anymore. I wonder if there ever really was a secret to that chamber, since the prayer itself never was a secret, and since almost nothing is easier than sighing. And if you should mistranslate a sigh, you can always just try it again. I wonder if it matters that the secret chamber is now lost to us, and if maybe the reason its entrance was covered up was because the work of fixing, unlocking, opening had outgrown the confines of its little passageway. I wonder if it isn't the case that the work that God once supposedly did in the bowels of a dark and secret chamber is now meant to be practiced out in the open, right here, where anyone who cares to can come, where candles flicker in every corner, and all you need to do is to learn to say the ancient prayer, Ephphatha, Ephphatha. I wonder if what was lost wasn't so much the secret chamber as the recognition of how stopped up we have become, how hard it is for us to hear in this noisy world, and how difficult it is to say anything meaningful or intelligible, how closed off we are from our neighbors, how unavailable to those who we should be loving, how tiny and self-centered our lives have become. And I find no reason to regret the loss of the secret chamber or to start digging to see if I can find it again. Instead, I find the prayer on my lips and the desire and the need to practice saying it. Ephphatha, Ephphatha, be opened, be opened. And I realize that it's not the secret chamber that has gone missing. It's the faith that Jesus can unlock the things that need to be unlocked, that Jesus can open that which has been stopped up, that Jesus can give voice to words that have been stuck in our throats, that Jesus can help us to hear things that we were never able to hear before, that Jesus can fix the things that are broken in our lives, that Jesus can bring healing to the thousand hurts of our lives. And I find I want to learn to sigh. I want to learn to sigh the way Jesus sighed, not out of boredom or frustration, but with the knowledge and the confidence that every breath we take carries the strength and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to look in a mirror and practice saying the word to the person I know who needs to hear it most. Ephphatha, Ephphatha, be opened, be opened. I want to know how it feels up here, out in the open, not in some dark secret chamber, to say with confidence and with faith, be opened, be opened. Ephphatha, Ephphatha. Because I want you to learn to say it too. I want you to sigh with me and to sigh with Jesus and to feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit with his breath as it escapes your lungs. I want you to say the prayer for yourselves and for this world that is so locked up, for everything that's tightly shut, closed off, repressed, buried, and left for dead or ruined or broken. Ephphatha, Ephphatha, be opened, be opened. Because the power of Jesus to heal, the power of Jesus to unlock, the power of Jesus to open that which is now closed has not been lost. It is not buried or lost in a chamber or in the mists of ages past. You need only to learn this prayer and to believe and to be a little patient. For he does not always work as fast as he once did all those years ago when he could just stick his fingers in your ears and say the words and you'd be opened. Nowadays, for reasons unknown, he is so often slower to do the work that once he would do in an instant. But still, he looks down from heaven when we look up. Still, he sighs when you and I sigh. And still, he prays when you and I pray, Ephphatha, be opened. And still, he opens everything that was closed in us before and promises that there is still more to be opened to us, more here in this world and in the world to come. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.